Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 3, verses 25 through 36. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 3. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going out to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless he is given it from heaven. You yourselves bear witness to me that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase. I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of earth belongs to the earth and speaks of earthly things. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets a seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not follow the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have the privilege of preaching twice this week, but only because of illness, to our chaplain, which gave me an opportunity to preach on a text that I have not preached on in a very long time, which is a really great benefit and privilege, because most of the time when this text has come up in my life, it's come up in a discussion about baptism or something like that, where we're trying to decide questions like, is John's baptism Christian baptism? And the general argument is, no, it can't be Christian baptism because Jesus hasn't established baptism yet. And then I turn to this passage and I say, but who's doing the baptizing in this passage and at the beginning of the next chapter? And they, well, it's not the same. And the odd thing is, we're still having the same argument that John and John's disciples and the Jewish man who came over the Jordan were having the same day this was going on. As you might have noticed, the church doesn't learn much over the years. Some ways that's good, and some ways that's really, really bad. But it does point to an important matter that the text also addresses, that John the Baptist, the great prophet, addresses. You don't have anything unless it's given to you from above. You don't have anything unless it's a gift. That includes understanding of the barest and most basic facts of what God has given, of the grace and mercy that he's given to you, and we can launch into deadly arguments and make lifetime enemies over the outcome of a Christian debate, which seems to me to be the most ironic and idiotic thing that you could possibly do, that in arguing over the faith with other Christians, you could begin to loathe the person that you're arguing the grace of God about. But we see it. This isn't the first fight that you find in John. It's not the last fight you're going to find in John. Every time Jesus does a miracle, you see somebody fighting. You see somebody trying to claim credit or trying to claim that they understand it or trying to abuse it. That is one of the elements that you find. First miracle that Jesus does, wedding at Cana, the previous chapter. What comes of the bridegroom's great benefit? Well, the steward of the feast chastises him. You screwed this up! You were supposed to serve this wine first, and you served that wine first. What's wrong with you? Can't you just let the guy get married? We stand in the midst of a life filled with miracles, filled with grace, given from above. In fact, that from above saying keeps coming up in this chapter too. That born again, or born from above, statement that Jesus makes to Nicodemus earlier is the same thing. Life has to be given if you're going to have it. Which leads us to one of the first non-Jesus people that we see getting it absolutely right here. When John the Baptist says, "He must increase, I must decrease." We might think, well, John's a prophet and a very noble man. He's doing the noble thing here and saying, I'm going to step out of the way and let my friend the bridegroom have his way because this is the very best thing and I love my friend the bridegroom to whom I've borne witness and this is a nice thing. John, martyring himself before his death, giving up everything that he's gathered, all the disciples that he's gathered, and giving them to his friend Jesus. And while it's right and it is noble in a very real sense, the nobility isn't usually what we think of when we think of somebody giving something up for somebody else. The nobility is that John recognizes that if this battle is left up to him, he's going to fail. If this fight is left up to him, everyone is lost. If Jesus doesn't increase and he decrease, then everybody is going to hell. And that's the story of our lives too. So often we try to put ourselves in the center of the pot, in the center of the action, and say, if it weren't for the contribution that I made, things would have been a lot worse. And we look for meaning in our life, for the ability to sustain who we are and what we are and what we have based on what we can do or what we can bring to the party, theological or otherwise. We even grossly misunderstand the way of the Lord by believing that somehow or another, whether we're lovable has to do with whether or not we can point to something that people really need us for. Our lovability is exactly the opposite, as John says. He must increase, I must decrease. We are never greater than when we are in the arms of a great Savior. We find this not only here in John, but throughout the Scripture. For example, if you're reading in Matthew, Matthew makes the same point when he has the Syrophoenician woman come and everything is against her, even the disciples, and it appears even Jesus is against her, and he says it's not fitting to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. And she's gotten pretty small in that case, hasn't she? She says, or Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. Why? Because her Jesus is big. He's huge. He can solve any problem. He can overcome any matter. Very next thing, you've got a great Hebrew parallelism going on. Peter's walking on the water with Jesus, right? And suddenly the wind and the waves get bigger than Jesus in Peter's mind. He says, when he saw the wind and he saw the waves, he began to sink and he cried out, "Oh Lord, save me." And when Jesus puts him back in the boat, he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Here Jesus got very small. Smaller than a wind gust on the Sea of Galilee. That's why at the end of this it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not follow the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. There is only one person big enough to handle the wrath of God, and that's the Son of God who died on the cross for you. If it's left up to you, it will crush you. And if you're not following him through this life has more than enough to crush you. And if it isn't the outside influences, the inside influences will do it, because you'll do it to yourself. We are an enormously self-destructive lot, and it's particularly ironic when you think of how self-centered we are and how much we only live to pleasure ourselves and give ourselves the things that we really like and we think we deserve. And yet, in everything, we're self-destructive. We go after those things that we know aren't good. The good I would do, I don't do. That evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? Only the Savior, who stands above time and into eternity. Only the Savior, whose blood calls for as a greater sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats. Only the Savior, most beloved of all the beings in the universe by his Father. Only he, who is great beyond measure and gives his Spirit beyond measure. Only he is big enough. And he bids us, walk with me. Be with me. Be my children. Be in Christ. Through the waters of baptism, whatever we decide at the beginning of the chapter that means. From the cup of salvation, from the word of absolution, by his truth, by his gift, this great Savior calls you to be his own, because it's given to you from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the English District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for missionary Tirza Cray, who serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.